Not a Vibes! Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. It's myself, Mo Mutsi, alongside me as always, the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, another day in the NBA.
Hey, another day, another dollar.
Man, two blowout games today.
Blowouts? You talk about blowouts?
Massacres.
Is this the playoffs? What's going on here?
Man, it felt like a January game. But the good news is my Celtics advance. They beat the Heat 4-1, closing out a series at home, which was, it was nice they did it at home, because Mike Gorman, the Celtics broadcaster, who's commentated every Celtics game I've ever watched, pretty much, it was his final ever game tonight. So shout out to Mike Gorman, the voice of the Celtics. If they would like a lovely British voice, I am right here and available. But the Celtics win 118-84. The Miami Heat, they scored three out of their 29 three-pointers. That's good for 10%. They got crushed on the glass, 48-27. PJ, I want to talk to you about Derek White. Once again, led the Celtics. He had 25 points. Jaylen Brown had 25. But I've got some numbers here.
Okay, let's go through the numbers.
Derek White, before and after shaving his head, in the playoffs with the Celtics, with hair, 10.8 points per game. Okay. Bold, 22.4 points a game. With hair, 1.83 points a game. Bold, 4.2 three-pointers a game. With hair, true shooting percentage, 39%. Bold, true shooting percentage, 74%. Three-point percentage with his hair, 39%. Bold, 48%. Now, if you're a hooper out there struggling with your shot, I would suggest you just shave your head, because it worked for Derek White. Let's see if it works for you guys. Let us know in the comments if you try it. Obviously, as a Celtics fan, I was very emotional when they traded away Marcus Smart. But as our good friend Scott Perry told us on this show, sometimes when you trade away a player, it allows other players to step into that role and step up their games. And that's exactly what you've seen with Derek White having a larger role in the Celtics offense without Marcus Smart being there in the backcourt alongside him. So shout out to Derek White. He's been huge. Shout out to the entire Celtics team. They got it done. Shout out to Uncle Al Horford. Still here. Still doing his thing. And the Celtics advance, and they await to see who wins the Cleveland-Orlando series as to who they'll play in the next round. BJ, how are you feeling about this team now? Paul Zingis is going to be out probably until the Conference Finals, so he won't be with them for the next series. And that could be a problem because, you know, Cleveland, they got some tall guys. And Orlando, they play with a lot of energy, and they could really do with Paul Zingis. But do you think that's going to be too much for them, or do you think Uncle Al can hold it down until he returns?
I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned because, you know, if it's one criticism that we can explore here with this group, is their bench and their depth. And as we said, Mo, we've said it from the beginning of the year, and now what we were concerned about is here. And Mo, we all agreed that their depth is going to be a problem.
I can't be the only one, though. Like, I'm not surprised. This was the first thing. Do you remember when we did the episode reacting to the Paul Zingis trade? And my whole thing was, is his body going to hold up through the Eastern Conference playoffs? And my concern was, you're going to have to guard Embiid and you're going to have to guard Giannis. And this is without even having to guard those guys.
Yes.
And obviously injuries, you can't prevent them, and it's not a knock on Paul Zingis, whatever, whatever. But this was the first thing I said when I heard the trade. Is he going to be able to finish a season?
Now we're going to have to get some minutes from somewhere. Is it Tillman? Is it Cornette?
Cornette did a great job tonight.
Yeah.
Credit to him.
Yeah. I mean, but here, you know, what is Al now? 30, what, 7? 30, what is he, 38? What is Al now?
Al Horford is 37 years old. He turns 38 on the 3rd of June.
Okay.
So, remember, it was his birthday in the finals when we were there and he had a great game.
So Al is going to give you what he has. Now, listen, he's due for one game a series. He's due for an Uncle Al game where you go, I didn't know he still had that, right?
Yep.
And then he might give you 30, and then
I'm happy with 20 from Al. That's a great game if you get to 20.
That's what I'm saying. I don't have a problem. Just give me what you have. Okay, so we know he's going to show up and compete. Mm-hmm. Al is a man's man. Okay. Now, I don't know if that's enough. I don't know if that's enough. You know, we're talking about having to play a minimum of three more rounds. A total of 21 games?
Well, yeah, they need to win 12 of them.
Yeah. Okay.
And so a minimum of 12 games if they sweep everyone from here on out, which is unlikely.
A minimum of 12, a maximum of 21 that they're going to have to play. And they have to be prepared. So I don't know how much Al has in the tank, and that's a lot for anyone. But now, especially Al, he's got a lot of miles on that body. So I'm looking for someone to contribute off the bench that's going to have to play not just one game or two games, can play consistent minutes and fill in where they can get a double-double consistently off the bench.
That's tough.
With those guys. No, I'm talking the combination of Al and this player.
Oh, okay.
Right? They're going to have to make up at least 12 to 14 points to be respectable. And 12 to 14, 15 rebounds as a combination, right? They're going to have the, you know, like the Chicago used to do it back in the day, they have a three-headed monster. You know what I mean? You just find the right matchup for that game. So they're going to have to utilize a combination of players and figure out how to get some contribution, consistent contribution from that position, especially now that Porzingis is going to be out. Other than that, Mo, I don't have any problems. I don't have any. Derek White has been playing lights out. I mean, lights out basketball. He's in a nice groove. We know Jalen Brown.
We've seen him do it year on year. I liked after this series is like both of Tatum and Brown said that they wanted to play Miami in the first round, regardless of who was on out there playing.
Right.
Because they didn't want to play the Hawks. They wanted to play Miami. And I like that because there are certain other teams who will duck competition, like the Cavaliers did on the final day of the season. They wanted to duck the Sixers, so they lost on purpose to be the third seed. And we'll see how the karma rewards them for that. But do you know who does have problems, BJ? The LA Clippers, just down the road from you. They got some real problems before they move into their new home because they got destroyed 123-93, and Dallas went into LA and walked out of LA with a 3-2 series lead. And before the game, Skyscanner, a sponsor of the Clippers, I believe, put up a billboard outside the arena saying flights from Dallas to Cancun. And I think the Dallas Mavericks took that a little personally because they went in there and boy, they just played with an intensity that was unmatched. You know, there was a little back and forth in the first quarter, but from the second quarter onwards, Dallas took the lead and did not look back. If we look at the box score over here, Luka Doncic clearly struggling with his injury. And then, BJ, I say clearly struggling with his injury, and then you look at the stat sheet, 35 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists. Kyrie Irving, not a huge scoring night from him. And this is why you can't trust the box scores, right? 14 points, 1-7 from 3. But his impact on the game was phenomenal. He had 6 assists to go with it, a couple steals. He was playing great defense. And then shout out to, you know, Derek Jones Jr., PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, Derek Lively played fantastic defense when they were in the game. They were really harassing Paul George and James Harden. James Harden, another stinker in the playoffs. 7 points, 2 of 12 from the field, minus 25. Paul George, 15 points, 4 of 13 from the field. Not great night. And these are the guys, you ain't got Kawhi Leonard, but these are guys who consider themselves superstars in this league who once again didn't step up. A tough night for Russell Westbrook again. Only 6 points, 2 of 11 from the field. You didn't get much off your bench. Norman Powell had 14. Bones Highland had 11, but that's really garbage time scoring. The Clippers are in trouble. They didn't play with the necessary intensity to win this matchup. They're at home. They just won the last game. They got a chance to take a 3-2 series lead and go to Dallas to eliminate them, and they just did not take advantage of it. What were your thoughts watching this?
Well, my thought was clearly Dallas was the better team offensively, and I'm about to say something I don't say often, and defensively. Okay.
Is the elusive question, have you got an answer to the elusive question you have on the Dallas Mavericks?
Which is?
The thing you say every time we talk about the Dallas Mavericks.
Well, hey, I don't have any problem with the Dallas Mavericks when Luka gives me the effort that he's been giving me on the defensive end. Luka, that's one thing I will say about Luka. He never backs away from a challenge. So now that I know he can play defense, it's just a matter of him saying he's going to do it. I know he can do it.
And he did it with a bad leg and the flu.
And you know how I learned this from a great offensive player who shall remain nameless. He told me once, he was like, I was like, how come you don't play defense? He was like, well, I just get bored doing that, da da da. He said, but you know what's the one thing that offense has taught me? I said, what's that? He said, I know all the moves to be a really good defensive player. I thought it was so funny. I thought it was just, it was really funny. We laughed about it. But then I thought about it. I was like, how could you not be a good defensive player if you are a phenomenal offensive player? You know all the counters to the counters. And watching Luka,
I'm playing off ball. You know all the passing lanes.
And I'm watching Luka. And Luka, like, he's giving effort. Like, but I respect that. And you know what made, I mean, Luka obviously is a great player. But you know what's great about watching great players is they have so much pride. Like the fact that he thinks people are targeting him, he's like, nah. Like, I just don't play defense, but I can if I want to. You know what I mean? No, wait a minute. He's like, wait a minute. Now, I'm not like such and such where you're just going to target me. Like, I'm some, like, just a lame duck out here. No, he's like, no, I can play defense.
And he's huge. Like, no, he's a very tall, very strong individual.
Yeah, he's...
It's not like there's some players when they get picked on defense... Purely because of their height, their weight, and whatever, it's tough for them, right?
Yeah.
But Luka has the necessary tools. Maybe not the lateral speed.
He has the necessary tools. No, he has the size. He has the strength. And you know what? Clearly, he has footwork, right? I mean, his footwork is just unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, the way he maneuvers. So you know he can do it. And to watch him make this commitment, and it just... The rest of the team now is playing. They look like a defensive team right now. So give those guys credit. After seeing game one, you didn't know what to think. But I remember I told you after the game, I said, God, they're going to figure this out, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And to their credit, they have Kyrie. I want to give a shout out to Kyrie Irving. Kyrie has been the best player in the series. Okay. He's been the best player in the series.
Yep.
He has evolved into a leader on this team. He understands the assignment. And they have a really, really nice combination with him and Kyrie and him and
Luka. And you saw it tonight, even though his shot wasn't falling, he had a huge impact on the game.
Yeah, no, he's playing at a very, very high level. Now, I haven't seen Kyrie play at this level, this consistently, since like the finals when he was with Cleveland. He's really put together a nice, nice year. He's been terrific in this first round of the playoffs. And he's been like a stabilizer for them. I mean, as much has been said about him off the court, so forth and so on. But Mo, he's really done a very, very nice job. It's great to see. He's incredibly talented, and now Mo, he's really stepped into a spot for them where, you know what, that's a tough out. So I know they have work ahead, but give them credit for getting up 3-2. Nice win on the road in game five, which is a big win. I think teams win probably 80% of the time after, whoever wins game five.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they have an opportunity to go back to Dallas and close this out.
I want to give a shout out to a friend of the show, Mr. Jamal Crawford, who was commentating tonight's game. And I think that out of all the players who do color commentary, all the people that do color commentary, Jamal is the best in the business right now.
Yes. Yes.
Hands down. Hands down. Yes. I enjoy listening. Now he's there with Reggie Miller. I don't like listening to Reggie Miller when he commentates. Respectfully, Reggie. I'm not a fan. But Jamal Crawford, top notch.
Well, Jamal's great. You know, that's a tough, Mo, you and I, we do that time to time. That's a tough job, right? But Jamal is a natural, he just has a gift. Some people just have a gift. And I've been knowing Jamal since he's, 18, 19 years of age. And to see him evolve to where he's at, I mean, he's a star. mean, he's a star on television because he just has a natural gift for it. And here's the thing, what makes it so great. That's who he really is, though. That, you know what I mean? He's not like, that's not his TV voice. Like, that's Jamal just being Jamal. And Jamal is a, when you say a basketball junkie, Jamal loves basketball. He loves talking about it. He loves playing it. He loves reading about it. Anything revolving around basketball, he will do so. Good for him. TNT, great to allow him to be able to commentate and be involved with the game because he's true. He loves the game. So it's a great fit for them and it's a treat for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was talking about on the broadcast, he was talking about, the Mavericks in this game adjusting to picking up James Harden and Paul George way higher up the court, which is something they did earlier in the series and went away from. And you could really see the impact it had on them. But let's preview tonight's games, PJ. Milwaukee versus Indiana. Who you got? If you're listening on audio, I wish you could have seen BJ's facial expression being asked that question. Tell them what you told me earlier about
I can't
your.
remember. I'm boycotting. I'm
There we
boycotting
go.
that.
There we go. BJ said he's boycotting that series now. The Pacers, they fumbled it. They lost to a
No,
Pat Bev. Gone out of here.
I can't. No, this is just unacceptable. This is
All right. We'll
unacceptable
talk about it when it
football.
gets to game seven, huh?
Okay.
They have to win
Yes.
at home. The Pacers have to win at home. If they don't, then they don't even deserve a game seven. But let's talk about the fun one tomorrow. Knicks, Philly. Michael Rubin's bought 2,000 tickets and given them away to people in the Philadelphia community. Shout out to him. Can't run the risk of New York controlling that stadium again. And a weirdly late tip-off for an Eastern Conference playoff game. Maybe they want to dissuade New Yorkers from going. But who you got for that one?
Who comes up with these marketing campaigns, by the way?
What marketing campaigns?
Well, first of all, if you and I are trying to get a ticket at the last minute, we can't get a ticket. Like,
We got offered a
sold
ticket,
up.
but we wouldn't, neither
Yeah.
of us
But
would go.
how does this guy just get 2,000
He
tickets?
owns the team.
Like, no, he's not an owner anymore.
Is he not?
No.
Oh, well, I don't know. He's a billionaire, so he must have a way. He must have a way. I don't know what it's like to be a billionaire, so I couldn't comment.
Yeah, I mean, how do you get to, like, all right, we want to go to the Clipper Dallas game. We just buy 2,000 tickets. How? Like, how does this work? I want to know how this works. Like, no, I'm not buying it. I think this is a marketing campaign. I want confirmation here.
Okay.
No, you
We'll
just
see
can't.
how loud
Yeah.
the Knicks fans are. We'll
Mo,
see.
you're the lawyer. I need you to do a little research and confirm that he got 2,000 tickets. I need confirmation here. I can't believe that there are 2,000 tickets available for a New York Philadelphia game. What is this, game five? No, game six.
Josh Harris, David Blitzer, David Adelman, and I just bought more than 2,000 tickets for the Sixers game six. We absolutely cannot let Knicks fans take over our arena again, giving them to first responders, healthcare professionals, and other local Philadelphia-based organizations. Michael Rubin just tweeted that out. I don't know where he got the tickets from. I don't know. And I don't know who the other guys are, but they sound pretty rich. If
Well,
they can
Josh
afford to buy.
Harris, they say Josh Harris is,
Yeah.
yeah, well, he's one of the owners.
Yeah, there you go. I assume they just went on a reselling ticket website and bought every ticket available. So that's that. But who got winning the game anyway?
I can't. I can't call that.
And
I mean, this is a,
BJ,
yes.
before we get into that, there's more marketing. Chick-fil-A has also raised the stakes. Normally, the Brickin' for Chicken promotion, which is where if an opponent misses two straight free throws, everyone in the arena gets free chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A, is only on in the second half. But for game six, it's on for the entire game. So if you want free chicken nuggets, I guess try and distract Knicks players when they shoot free throws.
Okay. See, you're getting me. I
No,
already had no
but
comment. I
but
already
if you
had
remember
one.
the playing game, when the fans got their free nuggets, that was the turning point in the game. I'm not joking. Go watch the tape.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this. I firmly believe that the Knicks had this thing in, they had this game won.
The entire world did, except for
Okay.
Tyrese Maxey.
Okay. We have a problem now in New York. We have a problem now because game seven, Mo, is anybody's game. It's anybody's. Okay, it's anybody's game. Now, I think this is a big game. What I saw, I'm just telling you what I saw. Joel Embiid did not look healthy at the end of that game.
Not at all.
Okay. He looks at he doesn't look even 50% to me right now. If somehow, some way, Philly can win this game, I'm going to pick the Knicks to win this game.
Same.
And the reason I'm picking the Knicks is because they look healthier. They look the healthier of the two. Now, that was some comeback win, but the Knicks look the healthier of the two. But I'm going to go against my normal procedure. If it goes to game seven, I'm going with Philly.
Wow. I'm going with the Knicks if it goes to seven, because
Okay. Because I don't think there's no way that Joel Embiid, I'm not saying, I shouldn't say no way. Based on what I saw, I mean, who knows? Based on what I saw, I don't see how he's going to come, what, in 2 days and just all of a sudden give me 40 minutes and whatever, and then bounce back. I think he could give one. Either he's going to give it tonight or he's going to give it to me, whatever they
of
play
course,
again. What is
but he
what?
has to do it in game six, otherwise they're eliminated.
Well, I don't know if he has to or not. I just don't know. This is what I don't know. At some point here, Jalen Brunson is just going to run out of steam. This guy just can't keep scoring 40.
But the Knicks didn't have him scoring at the start of the series, and they still bagged a win in game two.
Okay, I'll rephrase it. This guy is shooting, he's averaging over 30 shots for a
Yeah, he's just
series
letting it
per
fly.
game.
He's letting it
Okay.
fly.
At some point here, I'm going to assume that maybe they might double team him and force him to pass the ball. I would assume. I would just
Well, here's the
assume.
problem they have though, because Embiid looking so I don't know what the word is, looking so hobbled by injuries. The Knicks are actively just trying to get whoever Embiid's guarding up as the screener to get Embiid involved in the action. And Embiid right now, if he's exerting energy to hedge or double team off the screen roll, then that's just wearing him down on every possession, because then you've got to go back on offense and Embiid's got to be involved.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I would assume that these guys who are all getting paid a substantial amount of money, they could figure out something
Shout out to Tobias Harris.
to make Jalen Brunson pass the ball. That's all I'm saying.
We'll see. We will see.
I'm not saying someone else is not capable of beating them, but I would assume that we know their offensive game plan. Jalen Brunson is going to get up 30 shots. And Mo, I would assume that they're going to say, well, yeah, this guy's had what? He's had 40, what, at least two or three times in this series, probably more in this series. So,
Yeah, he had 40 and 47 and 39.
yeah, so, okay. So, I would just maybe you might want to get the ball out of his hands. Maybe. Mo, maybe. And if they can figure that out, let's see who else is capable of having a 20, 25-point game other than Jalen Brunson. Maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We'll see.
That's what I'm
We'll see.
saying. I don't, they've done, the New York Knicks have taken it clearly out of, and some of it's, you know, because of an injury, but they've done a really good job, I think, on Joel Embiid.
Yep. And they
I
did a
think
great
they've
job with
done
that
a,
fouling in the last game. Hartenstein did a great job. OG's been doing a great job.
doing a
Mitchell
great job.
Robinson, when he's
Yes,
on, he's doing a great job.
look at
Precious
that.
Achiua coming off the bench has been doing a good job as well.
They've showed him different looks, all those different defenders, different schemes. I would assume, and here's the thing, they're forcing him to pass the ball. He had 9 turnovers in the last game, crying out loud, or something like that.
He did 9, yeah.
So I would just think that maybe we might want to just see if it's possible. And then go from there. But if it gets back to 7, I want to take Philly. But I'm picking 6. I'm picking the Knicks to finish it.
Okay.
They better finish this one.
Time will tell, and we'll be back here tomorrow to break it down for all of you guys. So if you enjoy the show, make sure you subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Most importantly, unlike James Harden and Paul George tonight, get buckets.